Well, good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Jen A. I'm here in Colorado and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, God. Today is Thursday, September 12, 2024. It's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in the chapter titled We Agnostics. We're on page number 46, and we're going to read that first paragraph. It begins with, yes, we have agnostic temperament, through that one paragraph ending with, comprehend that power which is God. Today's readers, we have Team Thursday, Joni C., Jackie D., Vanessa G., Katie G., Judy N., our newcomer greeter is Reva P., and our second hour moderator is Ken W. H. Let's see here. Grab your pen and pencil, because if you want the reference numbers for yesterday, which was Wednesday, September 11, 2024, here's the following recording numbers. For the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Big Book Study recording, we have 21,736, 21736. The 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Big Book Study recording is 21,737. That's 21737. Well, here we go. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. So our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. So at a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Joni C. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Joni C., gratefully recovered but not cured from Minnesota. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
I will now ask Jackie D. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everyone. This is Jackie D. from Georgia. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service, and thank you for your service, Jan.
Well, thank you, Joni C. and Jackie D. for getting us started. This is how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, and then we're going to stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share. We do ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature that we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on the topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. So, in order to share, you're going to press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, you're going to let us know by saying pass. Then you'll press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So here we go. Today we're resuming our study in the chapter We Agnostics. We're in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous on page number 46. At that first paragraph, I'm now going to ask Vanessa G. to begin reading.
Thank you, Jen. This is Vanessa G. I'm a compulsive overeater recovered in New Mexico. Yes, we of agnostic temperament have had these thoughts and experiences. Let us make haste to reassure you. We found as soon as we were able to lay aside prejudice and express a willingness to believe in a power greater than ourselves, we commenced to get results. Even though it was impossible for any of us to fully define or comprehend that power, which is God. When I was a teenager, I had had what many people would call spiritual experiences, or, you know, witnessed what, you know, maybe could be even considered miraculous, I decided that there was no God, that all of it was, a result of the power of man, and which was, you know, maybe possibly not fully defined or comprehended. And I lived that way, you know, for a decade, and until my life was nothing, absolutely nothing, due to a different addiction. And I ended up in another 12-step program. And listening to other people giving credit to a higher power, to their, to power that to them was God, over and over again, I just decided again that it was time to try it again. And I still remember going home one night from a meeting and getting into bed and covering up my face with the covers, like, if, you know, I lived alone, I don't know who I thought was going to hear or see me, and trying to pray. And the only thing I could remember was the prayer that my mom used to play with us when we were really teeny, Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep. You know, I've since heard, you know, many other people say that they started with that. And I did get results. I did find a relationship with a higher power that was amazing and an unshakable faith until this disease, compulsive eating, started just to progress in my life over and over and over again, and literally ate away at that relationship. And it wasn't until I found this meeting, this book being studied in terms of my compulsive overeating, getting among fellows who understood what I had learned so many years ago in in relationship to some other substance, that I found a way out of my compulsive eating, that I found a way out amongst all of you, and find another relationship with a higher power. This one, again, is a relationship. You know, I don't look at other things. I don't look outside of myself at other things and claim that that is God. What I find is the strength and the guidance and the love that I haven't tapped into, that spirit, that higher power within.
Thank you.
And thank you. I have found an ability to live abstinent in this program. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Vanessa G. Appreciate you this morning. We do value everyone's experience. We ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that other might share their experience too. So who would like to share on what was read today? Give me your first name, first initial of your last name, and the state in which you're calling from when you get up to pitch so others know how to find you on the member list.
Rick J. North Carolina.
Christina J.
Elena C.
Nicole S.
Nancy C.
Elena C.
I got you, Elena.
Sarah G.
Jackie, did you, was there Jackie in there? Or no, it was Janet. Was it Janet? Janet B., did you?
Yeah, it was Janet.
Okay, that's what I thought. Thank you.
Rita P.? Did you get Christina?
Okay. Get me, yes, Christina. Tell me the person with the H, the last initial H.
Lee H.
Thank you, Lee. Yeah. That's good for now. Okay, let me see if I got everybody. Woo! That was fun. Okay, this is who I got. If I didn't, please pardon me. I didn't hear you well enough, but if you'll just give me your name for the next list when we get up to get names again. Who I have is Rick J., Elena C., Janet B., Nicole S., Nancy S., Lee H., Reva P., and Christina H. So go ahead, Rick J., get us started.
Good morning, Jen. Good to hear you. Thanks for moderating. And my name's Rick J. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Cary, North Carolina. You know, I wasn't even going to share this morning, but, you know, there's just, you know, hearing you moderating and hearing, you know, the lead share, and I'm so, so grateful that I have a relationship with a God of my understanding, and I always put that in there because that's something that this, you know, these steps and the way it was worded gave me the freedom to do. And in this chapter, you know, what I really sense is that they are making this ability to believe or be willing to believe in a power greater than ourselves as easy as possible because it's crucial. It is life and death when it comes to whether I'm going to be able to recover or not. If I truly am powerless over food, if my life is truly unmanageable, if I have truly done everything I can possibly do, I am beyond human aid and I need help, and only a higher power can save me. This is the path to take to transform my thinking, to evolve my thinking, to set aside my old thinking and go into a new concept. And what I found for me was that, you know, my conception of God was always connected to someone else's conception of God. And here I get to make my own. I get to establish what I need. This God, and God is just a word. It's just a three-letter word. But what it means is that it is a belief in something beyond me that's personal to me. And it is a power that when I open myself up to this power, to believe in this power, to actually acknowledge that this power, this God of my understanding can be real for me, whatever I need this God to be, then it starts to manifest itself in my mind and in my heart, and it starts changing my thinking, and then it affects everything. It starts this process where I actually see this God of my understanding in everything. And I used to think that it always had to do with, you know, changing, this God would change everything around me to fit what I needed it to be or expected it to be or wanted it to be. And I found that, no, the change is coming within me and my ability to find this flow and this purpose and this sense of joy and belonging and connection and freedom that is personal to me. And it's real for me. And it can be real for everybody. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Rick J. from North Carolina. Up next, we have Elena C. followed by Janet B.
Good morning, everyone. This is Elena C. from South Carolina, Greenville. I am glad to be here. And this paragraph speaks to me because it reminds me of the religion I grew up in, the prejudice, I had prejudice against it. I had no idea that was. There was something about that religion that did never hit home. And I, you know, it hit home for other people. For me, though, I mean, certain things I got, certain things I did, and it just did not match to where I was and where I am at that time. And, you know, as I was growing up, I had no idea. I became an agnostic. In other words, you know, maybe they were right, maybe they were not. Maybe God exists, maybe he doesn't. And as a result, I was like a lost sheep, because in the program, I am experiencing a sense of belonging with the world that I have never had before. With agnosticism, my agnosticism created a disconnect with the world around. And because I had that disconnect with the world around, I tried to find connection with the world around through, you know, like other people. And the way I did it without recovery, it's like I became totally dependent on what other people wanted. I didn't even know what my favorite color was when I was little, you know, or teenager or even later. I was like, if somebody would ask me, what's your favorite color? I was thinking, what's my best friend's favorite color? And or I totally became, I want you guys to do what I want you to do so then I can again belong. And that was so hard, and that was so profoundly disturbing and killing my insides and affecting me in multidimensionally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, intellectually. You know, I was so insane, as we say in this program. And thank you, God, a power greater than myself is not your power. My power is not your power. It's just very unique to me, and that's okay. And this is that spiritual recovery that I'm finding here. I have the right, and actually it's amazing and therapeutic, to find my own power that is very unique to me. And from that point on, I will always be connected to this power. All I need to do is do my part in it, meaning I need every day of my life to get up and just call upon this power that is performing miracle in me in me first and foremost, okay? And it's performing miracles in others as well, and I better believe that. And I am so happy to be here with that op-ed. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Just in time, Elena C., South Carolina. Up next is Janet B., followed by Nicole S.
Hey, good morning, Jen. Good morning, everyone. It's Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. So this paragraph is really cool because it tells us as soon as we begin to believe in a power greater than ourselves or are willing to, we commence to get results. Okay, what results do I get? You know, do I, like, get a new car? Well, no. The next paragraph tells me my results, and it says, I begin to be possessed of a new sense of power and direction. Well, we read that last week, right? What's my problem? My problem was lack of power. No matter how much I wanted to stop, I couldn't stop. I didn't have the power. So this tells me as soon as I'm willing to believe in a power greater than myself, I get power. I get to power. So I have a couple thoughts on that. First, I mean, they're really clear at the end of this paragraph, this power, which is God. And, you know, sometimes people say, well, if you can't believe in God, then start small. Sometimes people go as small as a doorknob, you know, make a doorknob your higher power or make the group your higher power. But they're really clear that this is God. God, you know, the next paragraph, a spirit of the universe underlying the totality of things, creative intelligence, God. And, you know, so someone says, well, what if a person can't believe in God? Well, I mean, if a person is diabetic and the doctor says you need insulin and the person says, you know what, I really can't deal with needles. Does the doctor say, okay, let's start small, take aspirin instead? No, the solution for diabetes is insulin and what we need is God. So then what do we do if we're willing to believe in God, but we don't, we can't? Well, it says willingness, which means I want to, right? I'm beat. I have no power myself. I want to. And I think we can go to God, who we think may or may not exist with that, and say a prayer like this. God, I don't know if you exist. And if you do exist, I don't know if you care about me and can help me. But if you do exist and you do care, please help me. And then we just set about doing whatever we think this God, if he existed, would want us to do. He would want us to be honest. He would want us to help other people. And if we start that, we start on a foundation, and then we get access to this power that gives us power and direction and just miracle upon miracle. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Janet B. Up next is Nicole S., followed by Nancy C. Good morning to you, Nicole.
Hi, Jen. Thank you for your service this morning. This is Nicole S. from Colorado. And I was looking at this paragraph and thinking, what were my prejudices? And mine were, you know, being a believer in God, that this was just an issue of sin that I had to fix and I had to have more self-control, and that God had many bigger things to do than to care about my food that I needed to fix. And, you know, realizing later that, you know, I have, you know, a physical allergy, a mental obsession. I can't fix myself. And the only way is that, you know, God has to rewire my brain. And then I realized, you know, he cares so much about my recovery, because if I'm not in recovery, I can't serve him by serving others. And so, you know, my abstinence recovery is not too big of a thing, or too small of a thing for him. He really cares about it. And then when it says that we can't fully define or comprehend that power, you know, it makes me think, you know, his ways and thoughts they're higher than mine. But I can get to know him, though, by spending time with him and, you know, through prayer, reading his word. That's, you know, my responsibility, and that's something I have to make priority and make time to do, so I can get to know what his will is for me. And, you know, the simple 11th step upon awakening, you know, asking God, okay, he's the director, I'm the actor, what's my role today, what is my script? And then through his power, you know, sticking to that script. And, you know, when I think of those results, you know, it's so self-evident. The more I let God be in control and be the director and just be the actor and play the script that he has, the better everything goes. Sometimes I'm like, why don't I do this more often? But I get so caught in my self-will that I go back and then have to, you know, redirect. God is my director. I'm the actor. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Nicola from Colorado. Up next is Nancy C., followed by Lee H. Hey, Nancy.
Hey, Jan. Thanks for the meeting. Good morning, family. This is Nancy C. from Michigan, calling from magnificent Yellowstone this morning. This paragraph really hit me with the word prejudice and laying aside prejudice. You know, when I came into the program, I had everything in tiny little boxes, and God was in one of those boxes. I knew when I went to God, or my conception of God at that time, you know, you ask for something, you don't get it, so you aren't good enough, you don't know what you're doing, so you have to work harder, and you never get it, and you work harder. So I started to become God, right? And I started to set up all of these rules about people, about places, about things, how people should act, what they should do. And as I started to work the steps in this program, as I put down the food and started to work the steps, I realized that my rules were lies and that I had this big pile of rocks on top of this conception deep down inside of me that there was a God who loved me. And then I started to lay aside each prejudice and say, all people are equal, all things are right, I don't have to be right, people are who they are, I made a mistake, I'm not a mistake, all of those things that I started to realize in this program let me find that God that they're talking about here. I'm agnostic in a lot of different ways and in many places. And when I hit upon that, I really have to ask myself, is it a lie that I've told myself so much that it is a rule that I have to say I made it up and I'm living in my own prison, and lay aside that prejudice so that I can open it and be more open to God and the loving things that he puts in my life. I am so grateful for this program. I'm so grateful for recovery and finding this way of living that truly works. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Nancy C. Up next, we have Lee H., followed by Reva P. Good morning, Lee. Where are you calling from today?
Well, hey, good morning, Jen. This is Lee H., and I'm calling from Tennessee this morning, and I'm so grateful to be on the meeting and hearing these great shares this morning. I, too, just was struck by the laying aside prejudice. That was really my problem. I had no idea, but I had these deep-seated beliefs that I needed to just break loose from. You know, food was such a big deal growing up. It was this subtle thing that my mother was an alcoholic, and yet she was a great cook, and so that was the way she showed us love, was by giving us good food. And so it was just something that was always in the back of my mind. And you know, it's amazing. This program really is amazing, because I had these kind of rules in my head that, you know, if I didn't, you know, perform or something, then I wouldn't get anything back. I just felt like I was living kind of in a deficit, just not really getting it and missing the mark, and then kind of being punished for it. I'm sorry, that's my dog. Anyway, I just coming into this program and learning about the lay aside prayer, and it just almost seemed too easy to just say, I'm willing to believe. I mean, that was just such an easy thing, but why did it not work? And yet I just kept hearing people on this line saying, you know, I was willing to believe. And it is true that it is a power, it's a loving power for me. That and I'm being saved by that loving power every day, because there are people that still, friends, special friends, that still just don't understand my illness, and they continue to try to test it. It's almost like they're testing me, even though I think they're trying to be loving, but I have to just continue to draw closer, you know, because my higher power loves me, and I've experienced that love so much as I just am willing to believe and to give over things in my life every single day. And I'm just so grateful to be here, and I will pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Lee H. from Tennessee, for sharing with us today. Up next is Reva P., followed by Christina H.
Good morning. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. These paragraphs for me just remind me of my transition from step one to step two. And, you know, for me at the beginning, it was very, very simple and basic. And I'm so grateful for the doctor's opinion. But I was tortured physically by what I was doing with the food. And I was tormented by what was going on in my mind. Like, I was so broken and at a bottom that when I was told, you know, I need to believe in something that's bigger than me, it made total sense, because I had tried and tried again and again and again, and I wasn't able to do this. So that wasn't so difficult. As soon as I heard the God thing, I thought, whoa, okay, where is the science here? Like, what's going on with the God thing? But it says here, where we were able to see that it worked in others. As soon as I looked at the people who were in healthy body weights and who were not tormented by the crazy voices in their mind, everybody who had what I wanted talked about developing, maintaining, growing a relationship with this God. So I was willing. And for me, willingness, you know, being prepared to do something, I'm being prepared to do the thing that I really don't want to do, but I do it anyway. It's an action. So I was willing to do my simple little prayer in the morning and my simple little prayer when I got to bed, and to start noticing little God shots of, hey, you know, I was absent today. That's God. That's power. And start looking for evidence of God in my life. And I'll tell you, it was only by continuing with three and then the whole inventory steps that I really saw my prejudice. I didn't see it so much in what I now call step two. I had to start doing the work and looking at the dishonesties, the beliefs where I got stuck. And to this day, this constant growth of looking, where am I agnostic? And God is bigger than that problem. And God is even bigger than that problem. And God can and will if I seek him by doing the work. So with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Reva P. from Toronto, Canada. Up next, we'll have Christina H. I think it's Christina J. I don't know why I put H. And before we do, Christina, just one second. If you just jumped on the line with us, or if you didn't know where we're at, we're in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, the chapter We Agnostics, page 46, first paragraph. Christina, go right ahead.
Thanks, Jen. Thanks for your service. Good morning, everyone. Christina J. in North Carolina. This sentence really came out for me today. Willingness to believe in a power greater than ourselves. And, you know, God has graced me with the power to put down the food over and over throughout my career here in Vision for You since 2014. But what I've learned in this last round of coming out of relapse is that God is not my will be done. I'm learning God is not my will be done. I've always had a great God. I've always had a loving God since I was a kid. That's the thing that saved me through many, many traumatic experiences. But I'm learning today that everything I thought in life that I wanted and thought I had to forge forth with and get is not necessarily God's will for me. And, you know, I believe my higher power let me go out and stick my toe in all kinds of sticky situations and get stuck and pulled down into the quicksand and then touch many, many hot stoves because I needed to learn. I need to come to this point in time that I'm not this power. And I need to take a pause, listen, be still and know, and let go. Because all of that in the past was tied into my pride. My pride. I wanted to be something. I wanted to be somebody. I didn't want to be lonely in my self-centered, self-seeking places. And I've never known how to sit down and just be. And this is what I'm learning today. I have a power that's greater than me that I'm finally getting to know. And I have never fully comprehended that power. I know I look at nature, I look at human beings, I look at our bodies, I look at all the things that man has created through the power of God. And I'm amazed and astounded from the tiniest weed flower to the most incredible skyscraper or the most incredible grand creation of God, this human body, if you think about it for even 5 seconds, all the different things that make us up. I'm always amazed by that. But by God, tell me to put down this career I've chased all my life and try a different thing? Are you kidding me? But today, I'm learning that that thing has all but cut me to shreds. And am I going to keep chasing something that doesn't work, like the food? You know, the food went down this time, and God revealed other things that were holding me back from fully having a relationship with this thing I've carried around in my heart all of my life that I love and that loves me. I've had great spiritual awakenings, they call it, but they never hold because I'm in the way. I'm ready to go out and, you know, once I go to that beautiful church service or that spiritual retreat, then I go back in life and I hit the first 7-Eleven and all the neon lights and all the people buying beer, and there I am looking in the candy aisle. You know, how can I marry the two? By surrendering, by letting go, by pausing, by beginning to walk simply in life, you know.
Time, please.
So I'm really fantastically happy that I'm learning what this power is, and it's not me. Thank you. I pass.
Thanks, Christina J. Appreciate your share today. All right, we're going to take another list of names, and we do value everybody who is on the line today. We ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. Just share the air with everybody. So give me your first name, first initial of your last name, and we'll get started.
Katie G. from Boston.
Lisa B.
from Rhode Island. Sarah G. from New York.
Let me go back just a second. We have somebody BT. Who was it?
Lisa BT from Canada.
Thanks, Lisa. You can mute now. And who from Rhode Island?
Felicia B.
Felicia?
Felicia.
All right. Gotcha, Felicia D. And then Tara G. And then who else?
Katie G.
I got you, Katie. If you can press star one, somebody's squeaking pretty bad on the line. It's really hard to hear. Okay. Is there anybody else?
Sarah G. from New York.
Thanks, Sarah.
Darian K.
Darian K. Anyone else? All right, I think we got a quiet line here. We have Katie G, Lisa BT. I think it's Felicia D, Tara G, Sarah G, Darian K. Let's start with that. Go ahead, Katie. Good morning.
Hey, Jen. Sorry about that. Good morning, everyone. Katie G recovered in Boston, and yeah, I've been sitting here thinking about why I say the set-aside prayer, which is derived from part of this. God, please enable me to set aside everything I think I know about you, everything I think I know about myself, everything I think I know about others for a much-needed new experience in all of these things. And I say that at the beginning every time I do a step 10, because for me, I have a whole mental illness. You know, like before I started eating, my first memories were of just crazy thoughts, crazy negativity, and misperceptions about the reality of how life was going. You know, AA can stand for attitude adjustment, because all I would do is I was this hypersensitive little kid and I took in all the negativity and focused on it all the time. You know, and as a recovered woman today, thanks be to God, I'm not eating, I'm not exercising bulimically, I'm not anorexic, and yet my mind still wants to go crazy, right? And, you know, what was so amazing, or what is so amazing today, is like, I just want to think God's thoughts after him, right? Like the next paragraph says, it talks about God does not make too harsh terms with those who honestly seek. Like, am I honestly seeking God? And, you know, somebody else described this. When I first came in, the ugliness of my exercise bulimia and the ugliness of my addiction, I really didn't care. Like, I really didn't have to formulate this huge concept of God. All I knew is that I wanted what other people had, so I started saying, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. And slowly, over a period of time, I mean, I've been in the rooms for 20 years, I have developed a relationship with God. But, you know, I spent years asking people, how do you develop a relationship with God? You know, and I like that God does not make harsh terms with those who honestly seek him, and that God is simple. You know, for today, thank God, with the food down, like when my head is going a million different directions, I know I'm not in the realm of the spirit. I know that I'm not hearing God. I'm hearing Katie. I'm hearing self-will. And I know that that's not where I want to be today. And so my question today is like, how am I earnestly seeking God? How am I an agent for God? You know, and for me, just trusting that he's going to be there. He has delivered me from this horrible disease, and he will continue to, one day at a time, if I'm seeking. And with that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Katie G from Boston. Up next, we have Lisa BT. Where are you calling from, Lisa?
Hi, thanks so much. This is Lisa BT in Ontario, Canada, near Toronto. Grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. It's funny how for me, you know, I hear each of these paragraphs. I've read it. I've been in program 20 years. I've read it more than once. And yet every time that we read anew, especially we in a group, something new arises, something deeper. And I just wanted to share something that was new to me, because I just found it so helpful. My travels with God have been very, very slow. I'm 67. I've been in program 20 years. And I always believed in God, but I really just didn't believe that God was, you know, had the time, you know, like that kind of thing. Like just, yes, God's real, but I, you know, not in this personal way. And so what was it that I did instead is I relied on self, and I relied on self as my backup plan. You know, and it was always there as plan B. And where it has manifested in the gift of program for me to allow me to see this has really been around the food. I may not see as clearly other ways that I rely on self and use my backup plan. Like I'm distressed right now, or something sweet will help. Right? But the other day, this is what I heard that I really just wanted to share. Another part of my experience has been that I've had what I think of as pockets, right? God can have this and this and this, and this is okay. Like, you know, I'll start noticing that I'm able to rely more. But then I'll have certain areas where I'll keep it for myself. And one of the most vivid ways that I noticed that is that my sister had something really difficult happen in her life. And honestly, this is what I said to God. I didn't say that you had permission to do this to my sister. Right? And that was literally how I said it. And it's quite shocking to me when I think about it now, but that is where my thinking was. Well, you can have this, I'll have that, and we'll get along together somehow. So it's been very, very helpful to me when I think of the term entire, and often we combine it with entire abstinence, which I understand is not, that's not the main, is entire reliance on God. And I'm on that road, and I see so much more clearly now than I ever have, that it really is a falling into this gracious love. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lisa BT from Ontario, Canada. And then up next from Rhode Island, we have, I believe it's Felicia D. If it's not, spell your first name for me.
Hi, yes, it's Felicia D with an S in Rhode Island, compulsive overeater, gratefully recovered. I just really have really enjoyed the shares today. So thank you to everyone who's shared, and thank you everyone who's doing service today. I appreciate you. Wouldn't have this opportunity without you. When I think about my eating, it was ultimate self-reliance, and it was a desire to feel safe. Somewhere in my addiction, I started to think, well, I know I didn't feel safe in my life as a child, but with food, it would bring moments of peace and moments of joy, and that felt safe. And so for many, many years, I ate trying to find safety. And when I would feel anxious about something, if it triggered things from my childhood, I'd feel anxious as an adult, but like emotionally like a child. And then it would be like a go-to, let's eat. You'll feel safe. Even though ultimately eating was very unsafe because I was, 130, 40 pounds overweight, and I was unable to manage my blood pressure and in danger physically. This higher power, today in my quiet time, I had this feeling come over me, and this thought just popped into my head, like, you are safe. And as you can tell from my share, like, that's been a core issue for me my whole life. I'm 55. And I was startled, like, I'm safe? And ultimately, I think I'm so grateful I don't have to understand my higher power. I just have to have the willingness to spend time and try to connect. And I'm powerless even over sometimes being able to connect, but not the attempt of trying. And my God, when I'm willing to put the effort in, is willing to do so much for me. And I was so grateful to just hear that today, and to know that with the program I'm given all the tools that I need, and that my mind will always go back to thinking it needs to take care of itself, but that I can trust that I can rely on this power greater than myself, and I can have a new experience in everything. So my job isn't changing, and it's really hard the last quarter, and the November to February, it's pretty insane. But I can have a different experience if I'm in a different place emotionally and spiritually. And I don't need outside things to change to have this different experience. And for that, I'm just so grateful. So thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Felicia D. from Rhode Island, for sharing with us this morning. Tara G., you're up next. Where are you calling from today?
I have a feeling it's Sarah G. from New York. Maybe that's how.
Oh, yes, that is
Sarah.
You.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe. I might have heard Sarah and put down Tara, and then I wrote Sarah down again. So let's just have fun. Go ahead, Sarah. Thanks for the correction.
I'm Sarah G. from New York, and I just want to voice that I felt, I don't know if this is part of my disease or to heal from my disease, but I was desperate to speak because a big part of my disease is isolating. Like, okay, I have the food down. I speak to my sponsor. Okay, great. Not share on meetings and not make outreach calls, but that is my disease. And I And unfortunately, I did miss my alarm today, and I did not speak to my sponsor. And I did reach out to her. I emailed her, and now I'm here because I need to show up. And this God is everything to me. And I don't have to do it, even though that I didn't follow my, you know, what I needed to do in program today from the beginning. I don't have to be desperate because God is still with me, and I am his servant, and what would he have me be for today? And I pass.
Beautiful. Thanks so much, Sarah G. from New York. Up next, we have Darian K. Good morning, Darian.
Good morning, Jen. Can you hear me okay?
Go right ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Yes, Darian Kay. I'm in the Berkshires in Western Massachusetts and gratefully recovered today. And so good to hear everybody sharing. You know, and I'm thinking, God is in the rearview mirror a lot of times. Like, I don't always see or feel it, like, right at the moment, because then if I could, I wouldn't have the fear and the uncomfortability and all the different stuff that goes on as a human does when they're faced with challenges and different situations that they're put forth in front of us, which is just part of life. But I can look back and see how God has carried me. You know, God willing, September 18th, I'll be in this program 38 years of my life, more than half. and you know, it's just a miracle. It's a miracle how I still wake up in the morning and pray for an abstinent day and pray for the people in my life and to get through this day, you know, with some peace and serenity. And it's mind-blowing sometimes when I think of that willingness that comes when I open my eyes. But it's, to me, that's like pure higher power and God, because left to my own devices, I would mess things up. And, you know, my behavior before program was destructive. And it wasn't at all where I wanted to be, you know. And today, I'm not exactly where I want to be, but I know that I can handle this one particular day if I put my hands in my higher powers, if I walk next to him, if he's next to me, he's got me, he's got his arm around me, he just has my back, and I can get through this day, you know. And I believe that. And so, like I said, I can look back and say, wow, look at this. I got through this and I got through that. And huge things in life, or joys too, not just difficult situations. And didn't pick up food. Wow, that's God. That's God right there. So, so grateful. And thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Darian Kay. Appreciate you from Western Massachusetts. And we only have a couple of minutes on the clock. I haven't shared in a couple of weeks, so I'm going to go ahead and set my timer. My name is Jen A., and I'm recovered in Colorado. Just felt led to share this morning. I don't usually do this when I'm moderating, but, you know, I have thoughts and experiences my whole life that my weight, what I look like, determine my self-value and worth with my family in relationships. I never knew that I would come to a program of Overeaters Anonymous and lay down all my prejudice to say, okay, God, you know, I don't know who you are, what you are, because I prayed for 14 years in the church. I served with ministry, and yet, you know, yet I'm still fat. I'm still struggling. I'm still in the gym. I'm still, you know, binging, purging, restricting. But when I came to the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous, I just want to say to the newcomer, like, I love the word willing in this paragraph. Willing means I have to take action. Willingness isn't just a thought or an experience anymore. It's an action. This is an action step in my heart that I can say to God, okay, like, I can't, you can. And I remember being in that back alleyway and saying, okay, I'm like done. I'm doomed. And there's no other way out. Like, I'm fully screwed. Either you help me and show me that you're real, or I'm just gonna be miserable the rest of my life. And, you know, I'm just really choked up today because God has taken me to a place of not giving a crap about food, exercise, the compulsion to run my own life. It's amazing, you know, and he helps me. And if he can do it with the food, 40-some years of struggling with food, diet, exercise, et cetera, then what will be next for me? He helps me with my kids, relationships, my parents. He's helping me with work right now. It's a doggy dog. I'm like, I so identify with people on the line, right? Like, work is hard. Life is hard. But God is big. And, you know, my belief has to be bigger. God has to be stronger. And I love what one of my friends says on this line. I don't have to understand this God at all. I just have to stand under him and say, be the Lord of my life. And do the miraculous. Keep doing the miraculous. And when I do, and I keep showing up, God keeps showing up bigger and bigger. So thank you for We Agnostics, the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, the people that came before me, and this meeting of a vision for you. And with that, I'll pass. We're going to end the meeting today. Thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. If you want to write down the share ID for today's meeting, feel free. I'm going to give it to you now. It's Thursday, September 12th, 7 a.m. Meeting. The number for today's meeting is 21,739. That's 21739. Super, super awesome. You can share it with friends, sponsees, anybody. We'll now close the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Katie G., can you please read a vision for you?
I can, Jen. Thanks so much for taking the meeting. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and count. Abandon yourself to God if you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your... We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as we trudge the road of happy destiny. And with that, I pass.